This third part of the series is called Building Your Ministry. And when it comes to ministering to others, the Lord ministers to us first to get us ready so that we are qualified to be able to help others. We're not perfected, but we're qualified. If you're going to minister to others, the Lord will deal a little bit more with you, don't you know? Anybody listening, don't you know? Okay, very good. Some of you know. All right, Billy Graham was returning to Charlotte after a speaking engagement. And when his plane arrived there, there was a limousine there. He got into his limo, he stopped and he spoke to the driver and he says, you know, I'm 87 years old and I've never driven a limousine. Would you mind if I drove it for a while? The driver said, no problem, you have right at it, sir. So Billy Graham gets into the driver's seat and they head off down the highway, and a short distance away, there's a state trooper operating his first speed trap. A long black limo went zoom right by him. 70 miles an hour in a 55 zone. Trooper pulled out easily, and he easily caught up to this limo and got out of his patrol car, swaggered over to the limo, and started his procedure. Young trooper walked up to the driver's door. When the glass was rolled down, he was shocked to see who was driving. He immediately excused himself. He went back to his car, and he called his supervisor. And he said to the supervisor, I know, sir, that we are supposed to enforce the law. I know that. But I also know that there are some important people to whom we give courtesies. I need to know what I should do. Because, sir, I have stopped a very, very important person. The supervisor comes back on the radio and he says, well, trooper, is it the governor? He goes, no, sir. More important than the governor. Well, so you must be telling me it's the president. No, sir. It's even more important than the president. Well then, who is it? The supervisor demanded to know. The young trooper said back to him, sir, I think it must be Jesus because he's got Billy Graham for a chauffeur. Oh gosh, we just came through Mother's Day, and how many enjoyed a great Mother's Day? Now some are not mothers, nor have been, but we all have had mothers. And they all have told us things just like this. My mother taught me about commitment. Commitment to my home church. I'm going to set up a little bit of framework for this lesson. Because those of you who are guests, this might seem a bit unusual, a bit out of context, because we have come along the lines to 15 lessons prior to this one. Now we're speaking about commitment. But I want to put it in a context that surely everyone can understand. The Church of Jesus Christ, according to the Scriptures, is God's answer on planet Earth. The answers of life, peace, strength, family, friendship, harmony, the answers of ministry, encouragement, life, blessing, people to be there for you, they're all to be there in the Church of Jesus Christ according to the Bible. Now, those of you who are in this room, like me, have lived long enough to know it doesn't always work that way. Can I hear an amen? That was a weak amen. It doesn't always work that way, though, does it? But we don't teach to the anemic. We teach God's perspective according to the Scriptures. We look to the Scripture and we grow into the image of what God has for us. We don't reduce our theology to our present walk, which is less than what He has intended. But we teach the Scripture according to what it says, so we can say, okay, Lord, transform my heart, my mind, my thinking, and I want to be what you want me to be. I want this church to be what you want this church to be. I want my life as a Christian to look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus, be like Jesus. Can anybody say amen? Isn't that the goal of God? Lord, bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we can all agree this morning, people throughout the ages have failed. Christians fail, churches fail, ministers fail, people fail. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing to me. Don't you know, people will say, don't you know how many ministers fail? Yep. The answer back to them is usually, don't you know how many people fail? It's quiet in here. Failing people need a real God. Real people with real problems need a real God to help through those real problems. And the Church of Jesus Christ is to be a shelter for people with real problems to be able to come and find that strength. The gossip, left outside the door. The backbiting, left outside the door. The pettiness, the competition, left outside the door. Where we come into the body of Christ together and we say, okay, our hearts are to be what God wants us to be. Now, commitment then weaves a loving fabric that binds us together. Because if I'm committed to you, my brother and my sister, and you're committed to me, we're not going to walk out on each other the moment the problem begins. How many of you know problems are real and will happen? Come on. My mother taught me that, right? Problems are real. They'll happen. But what do we do about them is what makes a difference in life. And we will teach this morning some principles on commitment. Those principles have strength to them. There's teeth to the Word of God. There's real life. And we'll help each other walk there if together we make a commitment to be the people He wants us to be and the church He wants us to be. For 3.5 years, many times I'll ask the same 3 questions I'm going to ask you now, and you've heard them. You've heard them so much, you might look at me and say, would you please stop asking the questions? Nope. The questions go like this. What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of Christianity do you want to live? Therefore, those answers will drive an answer to a 3rd question. What kind of church do you want to have? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. Come on, say it to each other. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Say it with strength. Look at each other. Say it with each other. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Say it southern. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We're going to do our best to be our best. We're going to do our best to do our best to be the church that Jesus wants us to be. Now, if that's the kind of church you're interested in, that's the heartbeat of this church. That's what Door of Grace is committed to. Does that mean we're perfect? You're all looking at me like, no, 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 I know you're not perfect. I know that. No, we're not. But there's our goal. Our goal is we're not done till we're just like Jesus. Our goal is we're not done till we are what He says in His Word He wants us to be. That's our commitment. That's our passion. That's our goal. Anybody is welcome to attend. Everybody's welcome to attend. We'll rip the walls down if we have enough people who want to attend. Everyone's welcome to attend. You make choice. Now, you can attend. You can become a member. How do I join the church? We'll talk about those kinds of things. Or you can then choose a 3rd category. How do I become a minister? Attender? Member? Minister. Now, how many of you understand those are choices you make? I don't make those choices for you. You do, right? Come on, look at me and say, it's my choice. Come on, everybody. Look at me and say, it's my choice. Okay. Everyone's welcome here. But let's do some serious talking this morning about what the principles of commitment are according to the Word of God. Church. The word church is the word ecclesia in the Greek. Ecclesia. And the definition of the word ecclesia that is translated church means separated from the world or called out ones. Separated. Commitment, therefore, then, is a person-to-person, deep, heartfelt caring for those who are separated out of the world. A deep, heartfelt caring, sharing, standing together for those who have been called out of the world to be transformed into being just like Jesus. Well, now, wait a minute, Kevin. Don't you also have a business? Don't you also go out into the world every day? Absolutely. But guess what? I am called to do my best to be like Jesus at that business. There's no split dichotomy here where you come and see me on Sunday morning, I sing, you touch me, and then on Monday morning, you better not touch me. That was a little joke. Didn't go over real good. But you see, it's not called to be that way because my Monday morning life is supposed to be the same as my Sunday morning life. And my Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday life is supposed to be the same as my Sunday life. It's not good enough to say, okay, I'll go to church for an hour or two on Sunday morning and live like hell the rest of the week. That's not the intention of the Bible. It's not the intention of Jesus Christ. Say amen or oh no. It's true, isn't it? Okay, so Lord, help us. Keep changing us. We don't wake up Monday morning perfect because we went to church on Sunday, but we wake up a little more perfect because we're growing, because we've been to church. Right? All right. We're not talking about are you a Christian in this message. We're not talking about are you going to heaven. But we're talking about being a Christian and in a relationship of Christians to one another here and now, to the family of God, to your church. Say, my church. Commitment is something expressed in worship, expressed in involvement, expressed in doctrine, in relationships, in every aspect of Christianity. Because, as your fill-in says, if Christianity is anything, it is everything. Well, that's radical. That's right. When I gave my life to Jesus, it's 24/7. 24/7. If Christianity is anything, it's everything. I don't walk away from Him day by day and just smile again on Sunday morning. We live for Jesus. We live for each other. We don't just live for ourselves. So as we teach the principles of commitment, please hear our hearts. Again, I'm going to repeat some things. Everybody is welcome to attend. I'm not trying to push or canvas for church membership this morning. I'm trying to highlight the distinctives of what does it mean. I'm welcome to attend. I'm welcome to join. I'm welcome to learn to grow in ministry. What does it mean to be in commitment? What does it take? Here in this church, what does it take for commitment to the church? Well, one of the most important things that it takes for Christianity, much less the church, is a solid, true repentance experience where you have really surrendered your life to Jesus. Anybody can attend, but if you want to join the church, what does it mean? It means I've got to have that repentance experience where I've given my life to the Lord. Water baptism, baptism in the Spirit, either speaking in tongues or pressing forward to receive, acknowledging the reality of the gifts of God still for today. Communion, 24-hour normal fast, foot washing with several people, involvement in church work parties. All of those things, Pastor Kevin? We're not talking about attendance. We're talking about commitment. We're talking about potential ministry. And you see, if we have someone who is involved in ministry, we don't want a confusion word to those people. We want a consistent word. There are lots of different kinds of churches. Lots of churches for lots of different kinds of people. I'm simply telling you biblically, here's what we believe here. And as a ministry team here, we believe, the Scripture says, 1 Corinthians 1:10, and is serious about it. They spoke the same thing, they believed the same thing, and they held these things in common. Might we disagree over some minor issues? Yeah. Should we do it agreeably? Sure. But let's agree on the majors. If we disagree on the minors, let's do it agreeably. All right. Now, none of us are perfect, but you need to have a vision and a desire for becoming, your fill-in is, perfect, as you're becoming like Jesus. So do you want to grow to be like Him? I need to have a vision for becoming perfect like He is. The goal is continued change then. All right, what is commitment? Webster's 1828 dictionary, if you've never looked at it, is one of the finest dictionaries, one of the earliest dictionaries that was written, of course, Noah Webster's dictionary. And he has the 1828 version, which you can still find at Bible bookstores and other places. It's a fantastic text to help with your study in the Word of God. It's filled with scriptures all through. Because as a Christian, he showed these definitions of words in context with Bible words and their meaning. All right, what does it mean, commit, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary? It means to give in trust, to put into the hands or power of another. You're not going to be able to take all this, but let me just give you an exposure to it. To give in trust, to entrust with, to join or put together, to pledge. To commit oneself or to do something or make a declaration which binds that person in honor and in faith and consistency. There's a knitting together in our faith and in consistent walk with the Lord. What kind of commitments do we make? First and foremost to Jesus. We give our lives to Him. We surrender to Him. Secondly, we commit ourselves to daily walking with Him. Thirdly, we commit ourselves to the studying of, the learning of, and the obeying of the Word of God, the Bible. And then we commit ourselves to His family, to the body of Christ. Just some basics But these are serious commitments. How many understand the word commitment is a serious word? Serious, isn't it? Do you know that we are living in a day and age? Now, please understand, this is a real statement. We are living in a day and age where commitment means nothing. Especially in America, what has commitment enjoined to people's hearts is commitment to self. And the scripture talks about living for Jesus and to give life away. It talks about ministering to others, and except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. How many of you like preaching, good solid preaching messages, real exciting ones on dying to self? I didn't see any hands go up. Okay, all right, greatness. But there, it's a little harder to hear that, isn't it? It'd be a lot easier if Pastor Kevin stood up every Sunday and preached about joy, 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 joy. Oh, the joy bells ring. Come on, let's have some joy. More joy, more joy. Wouldn't that be fun? Please, just one. But the issue of life is, what does the Bible say? And we're, this kind of a message goes flying in the face of Americana mentality, because Americans are committed to themselves. And we're learning about a commitment that's biblical, that's to Jesus and to other people. All right, let's take a look at the early church, our example. How many have heard of the word Antioch? The church at Antioch. What a fantastic church. Acts 11, verse 26. And when he had found them, he brought him back to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, this is Barnabas going to get Paul, for a whole year they assembled with the church, and they taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, the Bible Knowledge Commentary said Jesus' disciples were first called Christians. Now, when you end a word in our Bible with I-A-N, Ian, it means belonging to the party of. Christian, therefore, means belonging to the party of Jesus Christ. Those were the people of Jesus' party. The word Christian is only used two other times in the New Testament, Acts 26, 28, and in 1 Peter 4, 16. The significance of the name, emphasized by the word order in the Greek text, is that people recognized Christians as a distinct group, separate but distinct, who were different than everybody else running around Antioch. There was a visible, tangible, identifiable commitment that resulted in a visible expression of the family of God. We got any secret Christians here this morning? Just want to walk around in secret. Don't want anybody to know. Don't want anybody to be able to look at me and say, you're not acting like Jesus. You know the world does that, don't you? You know, people that don't love Jesus will look at you all day long if they know you love Jesus, and they say, you're not acting like Jesus. Interesting thing, isn't it? God put some of them on our path for a reason, doesn't he? I remember when I was in college, I stayed up for 2 days in a row studying for a big, huge final and a big presentation. And I was, by the end of my second day, I was one frazzled mess. I was uptight because I still had another day to go to before I got this presentation. There was this guy who lived down the hall from me, and he was the biggest drugger on the dorm floor. And this guy, he didn't care about Jesus, much less how to spell his name. But I was so frazzled. This guy walks up to me and goes, hey, man, why don't you just back off and go spend some time with Jesus? Because you don't seem much like him right now. Nope, I'm not like him. Pow! Okay. If God can speak through a donkey, he spoke through this guy. And guess what? He was right. People know the kind of fruit. In fact, people that don't love Jesus love the fruit of Jesus in your life. And they expect us to demonstrate it. So we grow, don't we? Anyway, so the issues here are growing in his likeness, being identified. And there's your fill-in. And their commitment to Jesus and to one another, they were identified. And they were recognized as being a distinct group of followers of Christ. It was visible. It was tangible. They were identified. Now, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, otherwise known as ISBE, is a fantastic set of texts as we study Christian history. And in the early history of Christianity, Antioch occupies a fantastic place. There was a large, flourishing Jewish colony in this place, and it offered an immediate field of receptive spiritual people to the teaching of Jesus. And the cosmopolitan spirit of the city, it tended to widen and broaden the outlook of these people who became part of the Christian community. And they refused, the early followers of Jesus here, refused to be narrowed into simply the confines of Judaism. They understood, and God was birthing a brand new church. Remember, all the earlier believers in the book of Acts were all from Jewish background. And here we come now to the Gentiles who did not have this background, but there was a large Jewish contingency in Antioch, and God was calling these people out to show them their Messiah. Antioch was the cradle, if you will, of Gentile Christianity and of the Christian missionary enterprise's beginning. And it's where the term Christian was first used. Maybe as a term of derision, maybe as a nickname, but it certainly stuck. And it also means little Christs. I actually love the name Christian, don't you? Being identified with our Savior. Now, in their commitment to Jesus and to one another, they were unified. So in their commitment to Jesus and one another, they were identified. And in their commitment to Jesus and one another, they were unified. Acts 4:32, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Folks, that's close. What does the Bible say our relationship is to be like? Now, I'm going to go quickly through these scriptures, but in your text and in your materials, you have all of the scriptures that I refer to in this message, so you can look them up in context in your own Bible. One heart, one soul. How many of you think that might be close? The word soul in the Greek usually refers to mind, will, and emotions. They were one heart, one mind, one will, one set of emotions. Wow, not robots, they were all distinct personalities, but that's how close these people were. It's powerful, isn't it? In their commitment to Jesus and one another, they held, thirdly, to a central core of beliefs and practice. Acts 15, verse 24, since we've heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Now that carries on. Listen, what I want you to just hear the scripture. They were a central core set of beliefs and practices. There was a group of people teaching new Christians, you better do the law or you're not going to get saved. You better get circumcised or you're not genuinely saved. And so what's happening is the group of apostles is writing a letter to other churches saying, we didn't send these people out. Now listen to the next verse, 1 John 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest, and none of them were of us. All I'm simply showing you by Scripture is they were identified, they were unified, they were knit together in faith, core, and in practice. Now, International Bible Encyclopedia goes on to identify five characteristics of the early church. Let's give them to you. Number one is faith. You're filling there is faith. This is church founding and church building faith. Baptism was the seal of their faith. Much more than an act of intellectual assent, they were baptized into Christ and they became a part of the church. It was a personal laying hold of a personal Jesus and a personal walk with their Savior, and it resulted in them being a new creation. Faith, a hallmark of the early church. Number two, fellowship. If each believer is vitally joined to Jesus, guess what? You'll become vitally joined to each other too. What do we say around here? Loving Jesus and what? Around here we do not say loving Jesus and fooey on youy. Loving Jesus, loving each other. And folks, how many of you understand that many times that's where the rubber hits the road? That's really where it gets tested. But commitment says, let's stay in here and walk biblically together. All right, fellowship, Christians, members, one of another. Paul used the phrase, the brethren, often through Romans and 1 Corinthians. The Christian society as a fellowship was recognized by the term, the brethren. In the Lord's Supper, this is a neat thought. In the Lord's Supper, the other sacrament of the church, the fellowship of Christians received its most beautiful expression, especially the sacrament of faith. But the Lord's Supper was the sacrament of love and fellowship. Love and fellowship. Next Sunday morning, we'll have communion together. And communion is far more than a wafer and a little cup of juice. It represents a whole knitting together of the family of God. Number three, unity. Unity. Local congregations sprang up wherever the gospel was preached. And though each congregation was independent on its own, the unity of the church was recognized right from the beginning. It was an expression of the love of God in a local location. A local location. We will have more to talk about that. Number four is consecration. There's your next fill-in. Consecration. Peter said, and the scripture declares, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, we are an elect race, a royal priesthood. Now, I'm not talking elite of the elite talk. I am talking forgiven people who are called to be, as the Bible says, a holy priesthood to our God, a holy nation. A special people for God's own possession. Every eye up here, say with me, I am special. You're special. You're special to God. God's people are His special possession. Side by side, walking together, the word saints was a word commonly used in the scripture. Set apart ones. Ecclesia. Separated from the world, belonging to each other. 1 Peter 2, 9, again, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27, that they might sanctify and cleanse her, meaning the church, with the washing of water by the word, that they might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. How do you get wrinkles out of your garments? Now, that's becoming a thing of the past. Yeah, throw it back in the washer. Throw it back in the washer and dryer. But there is a certain pressure with heat called an iron. Anybody ever felt that heat and pressure from the Lord in your life? What's he doing? He's just getting rid of some of the wrinkles because he wants to present himself a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle. You ever feel the scrubbing? You've got to get that spot out. Sometimes the Lord works with us that way. Fifthly was power. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, Matthew says, I am in the midst of them, Matthew 18, verse 20. Go therefore, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Make disciples of all the nations. Don't just go preaching, but go and make disciples. Formulate their life into the life of Christ. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How many things were we supposed to teach the disciples? How many? All things. I'm sorry. How many was that? Well, some preaching just isn't fun. Don't teach me that. No, I still have to do that. We still have to teach what the Word says, don't we? It's not always fun for the teacher-preacher either. Especially when God requires and works it out in his life. So then he comes beat up to you Sunday morning and goes, let's talk about this. That's real Christianity, where we change. At all points, the early church was identifiable. The early church was a unified core of believers who held fast to a common faith and practice in their love for Jesus, in their love for each other, in their love for the Word of God. Now, I want you to examine something. I'm going to say it to you straight. I want you to examine something. You examine the New Testament. There were no characters out on their own resisting and withholding themselves from the fellowship of the saints. And you take a look in the New Testament, you do your own examination. People are free to do whatever they want. But if there is a spirit to withhold yourself from the fellowship of the saints, you won't find that in the New Testament. That's not New Testament Christianity. Certainly, there is the church universal and there is the church local. If one is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ universal, you've given your life to Jesus, according to the scripture, you'll find a church in each location. There was identification with church local. If one is a member of the Church universal, one must of necessity be a member of the church local. The church local is where there's strength teaching, identifiable fellowship, nurturing, communion, prayer in your difficult times, sacramental impartation. I want to know from you. I really want to know from you. How many of you are going to have intimate prayer, somebody walking right by your side through your heartbreak, if all you have is a TV preacher as your pastor? Come on. I love some of the TV preachers. I really do. But that TV preacher, man or woman, is not going to walk by your side day by day in your need and time of prayer and need. Great additions to the body of Christ, but not replacements for the church local. Are you with me? I'm just asking you to examine, what does the Bible say? What does your Bible teach you? Here's your fill-in. One would be very hard-pressed to demonstrate from the Bible that one is a legitimate, fruit-bearing Christian if one withdraws from and refuses to identify with a church local. Does that mean you might not be in transition looking for where you're going to fellowship? No, of course you might. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying make it a priority to find yourself established in a local congregation of worshipers. Hebrews 10, 22 to 25, listen to the scripture. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And, verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. All right. Now take a look. Well, what about Paul? Paul was always traveling all around. How many of you realize, if you read your scriptures, Paul came back to the church and gave reports on his missionary's journeys, on his missionary journeys. Paul was identified and identifiable. The people in the scripture, there was fellowship. Folks, the whole point of the Bible in the church is you come out of that which has tormented you and caused you heartbreak in your life, and you come into a saving knowledge of Jesus and into a safety place of refuge and family in the body of Christ where there's strength for one another. Do we fail sometimes? Yeah. But you don't throw out the church of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures because there's been some failure. Amen? How many are glad in this room that people didn't throw you away when you failed? I think I can say with a surety that everybody in this room has failed at least once in life. Okay? The church is a refuge for each other, a place of safety, where we treasure Jesus and His Word, and we treasure each other. That's what the church is like. Look at each other and smile. Say, I treasure you. I treasure you. Door of Grace Ministries, we'll go on, provides personal ministry care. There's your fill-in, the word care. John 21, 16 and 17, he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Proverbs 27, verse 23, be diligent to know the state of your flocks. Attend to your herds. 1 Peter 5, verse 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, overseeing or serving as overseers. The Bible uses these words, shepherd, tend, feed, nurture, protect. We work hard to ensure that that kind of feeding and nurturing and care takes place. Now, you will receive according to that which you desire. We don't force anybody into commitment here. We don't force anybody into receptivity. And we simply minister to those who want to be here. Right? We're here for those who want to be here. All right, we will raise up, as a church, our commitment is, we will raise up other ministry leaders to help, your fill-in is, to help carry the load. To help carry the load. In Exodus 18, verses 23 through 26, you can write this down. I don't read all the scripture there, but Exodus 18, 23 through 26, Moses' father-in-law advised Moses to spread the load among others who could help him lead the house of God. We will raise up other leaders from those who are in commitment relationship here to effectively minister to God's people as we grow as a congregation. Helpful other leaders and ministers help to strengthen and seek the Lord and help the pastors seek the Lord further for vision for the congregation. The Bible says in Acts 6, verses 3 and 4, brethren, seek out from among yourselves seven men of good reputation, and it might as well say women as well, because I believe in women's ministry. You'll take a look in the Bible, I believe women are every bit as called to minister before God as men are. I think that the Bible says clearly there's neither male nor female, but you are all one in Christ Jesus. And people can look at me all they want and say, yeah, but those women better be under covering. Guess what? So better the men. Are you breathing? You take a look at the scripture, everybody, the Bible says submit to one another in love for Christ's sake. You know, I mean, the whole issue is, if there's not a teachable spirit, it doesn't matter if you wear pants or what used to be a dress. Now, everybody wears pants, fine with me. But it doesn't matter whether long hair or short hair. Oh, that doesn't work either. It doesn't matter whether male or female. Because we all better be serving one another and loving one another with a sweet spirit of tender receptivity before the Lord. Say amen or oh no. Okay, some of you just didn't say oh no out loud, so that's okay. All right. Brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer, to the ministry of the Word. As we raise up other ministry leaders, they will have the same, your fill-in is same, the same anointing to care for the people God brings here, as is upon your pastors. We pray that you pray for us, that there is an anointing that rests upon us. And that anointing is to be the anointing on all the leaders and ministers in the house of God. Numbers 11, 16, and 17. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, that you may know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. I will come down and talk with you there. I will take in the spirit that is upon you, and I will put the same upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. God wants to spread the load. God wants to build the camp. God wants to increase His people in the house of God. So the church is a refuge place, and there are ministers to help. All right, what are the purposes of commitment to my home church? Number one, full-hearted Christian living to nurture and develop healthy, functioning sheep. Why is this important? How many of you have heard forever, through the ages, the old-fashioned kinds of things? Well, how are you, brother? Oh, the devil's just running me down this week. How are you, brother? Oh, the devil's chasing me. Hey, you know what we do around here? Spell capital J-E-S-U-S, and Jesus has given us the strength to walk through. Are we tested? Are we tempted? Sure. But I'm not going to give glory to the devil. We're going to give glory to Jesus. So when you see me and you have a need and you can confess that, then the answer to healthy Christian living isn't to deny the reality, but don't give all the glory to the devil. You can look at me and say, man, I'm through a tough time. Will you pray for me? We'll pray together. We'll send the devil flee in the name of the Lord. But God's looking for healthy Christians who can say, we love Jesus and we send the devil out on his ear. Amen? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You know that old-fashioned perspective of the Church of Jesus Christ and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? The old-fashioned mentality is the gates of hell are just really chasing you down and the church better hang on or it might just barely survive. Can I ask you an honest question? How many gates have you seen chasing anybody down lately? Gates are stationary, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Aren't they? Yeah. Who's going against the gates? The gates shall not prevail against the onslaught of the kingdom of God when the people of God rise up in victory and take the dominion for Jesus Christ. Amen? Where God's people walk in victory, the gates will not prevail. The place of refuge, the place of safety, the place of strength is in the body of Christ. Strong, healthy, functioning, serving a useful role. Sheep, not lambs, not babes, but goats, not goats filled with rebellion. But sheep, those are images that the Lord uses in the Bible. You know what? You know what goats do, don't you? But. Now, forget what should I do? I really think you ought to spend some time with Jesus. But. Okay, let's move on. Don't grace commitment to help you develop closer interpersonal relationships, intimate fellowship with each other. There's brothers and, hey folks, the family of God is closer many times than our own natural family. I don't know where you're at, but I can say amen to that in my own life. I've got some loving family members and God's done quite a bit of healing. But how many of you, you don't even have to show me by a show of hands, just by show of eyes, how many of you have some issues in extended family. There have ever been any issues or problems? Come on, ever any? The Church of Jesus Christ is a refuge place. And many times you'll be closer to your brothers and sisters in Christ than are to natural family. That's not forbidding or saying natural family is bad, but when you take a look at Jesus and what he did on the cross, hold on, remember, on the cross, Jesus turns to his mother and says, "Woman, behold your son." Jesus was talking to his mother. And when he said, "Behold your son," was he talking to his natural brother? He's talking to John. John wasn't his natural brother. And he said, "Behold your mother. Take care of her." And the scripture says she went into his house for care from that moment on. Doesn't mean he didn't love his brothers and sisters, but he was trying to show us something. The spiritual family is a place of refuge. It's supposed to be, where we care for one another. And sometimes you're going to have closer relationships there than with others. If that was John 19 that I just referenced for you. Ephesians 2:21, the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, causes growth for the body, for the edifying of itself in love. Sometimes we do sin and fail each other. But the right attitude is, if there's a fence, I'm going to go and get it taken care of. Not, so now I turn my back on you, don't ever talk to me again. That's too often what's happened in the body of Christ. And it's a tragedy. God wants there to be healing. Just like Nancy's prayer this morning. God wants there to be healing and a sweet spirit knit together. Because I'm committed to you, I'll walk with you through the healing process. Amen? Does it mean you never yell at each other? I didn't say shouldn't. Sometimes it happens. But do you hang in there and walk through the restoration? That's commitment. All right, being in committed relationship here brings forth natural and spiritual. Your filling is ministry. Ministry. The Greek word koinonia is a very intimate fellowship and community, giving, receiving spiritually and materially. We share the word and prayer and ministry of spiritual gifts. We meet natural needs. Commitment relationship, a door of grace, helps each person find opportunity of expression in giving and receiving. There's training in spiritual gifts and sharing what God's saying to you in the word. Ministering natural gifts where neediness can be expressed. That's a family. Number five, door of grace, commitment. What does it mean? For those who desire in commitment relationship, there's opportunity to be trained for future leadership. Opportunity to recognize, develop, encourage, adjust, cover. Well, Pastor Kemp, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I don't need any training. Well, maybe you don't need any training in basic foundations, but then we need to walk together. The Bible says you'll be yoked together and walk in harmony and walk in agreement, so we know the people of God will receive precious ministry. Amen? That's what we want. We want that training to take place. Genesis 14:14. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed, the King James is equipped, 318 trained servants who were born in his own house, and they went in pursuit as far to Dan. They were born, trained, and equipped in his house to be able to go have effective victory. God raises up those kinds of people to minister in the house of God. We look for those kinds of qualities. What other kinds of qualities do we look for in people that want to be spiritual ministers? Number one, faithfulness. Faithfulness. There's a fill-in for you. Means reliability, regular attendance, supportive attitudes, commitment and action, volunteering for projects, discipline, diligence and keeping commitments and diligence and faithful use of opportunities, work parties. Whoever your filling is this, whoever has a responsive heart will be given more opportunities. Your filling is responsive. Listen to the Bible. I'm not telling you something the Bible doesn't say. Matthew 13:12. Whoever has, to him more will be given. He will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. The Greek definition or the Greek meaning is where there are opportunities received, taken, and responded to, more opportunities then of growth are given. Next is teachability. Teachability. So faithfulness, teachability. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it. How many of you understand kids are gullible? Teachable. Is there a hungry heart to learn and grow and have fun? Yeah, there is. There is, and Jesus likens us with our attitude of teachability to that kind of a spirit. Next is tender spirit. A tender spirit. the fruit of a broken, repentant heart. How many of you would rather be helped by somebody who knows he or she has needs rather than somebody who acts like they never have them? Come on. I was at a conference one time, and the hardest man I've ever heard in my life was up preaching and teaching, and I think I turned to you guys and I said, I'd like to go up and confess your sins to that guy. You know, I mean, when there's a broken spirit and a tender spirit, you can tell there's fruit of a yielded walk with God. It doesn't mean there's not authority and responsibility, but it means you need to be able to have a broken and tender spirit because of your own need for God. Then you give that kind of life and heart away. Amen? Speaking the same word, the next point. I plead with you, brethren, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Would you please write that reference down right there, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, and look that up. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. There'll be no divisions among you, perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, let me tell you what we're not going to do here that commonly takes place in a lot of churches. A lot of churches, and you can get lost in great, great big churches. Well, what happens sometimes, maybe you've never been like me, but sometimes you have a certain word of counsel that you would like to have confirmed to you in a certain way. Right? You got ears to hear what you want to hear. I want to do this, so Lord, confirm it. And you go around from one minister to another minister until you finally hear that word confirmed. You're quiet. Nobody ever done that. Okay. That's not going to help anybody. And so what we want to do, you know, all right, let's use a different picture. You've done this. Maybe you were a mother or a father, and your kids came up to you and asked you for permission to do something, and you said no. So then they ran to the other spouse, and that other spouse said yes. Or that other spouse said, well, Daddy said I could, or Mommy said I could. Come on, ever been there? Okay, you've got a few more people on that one. What we want to do is help people with the consistency of ministry. And that's where when you speak the same thing in the Scriptures and you've grown together in the Word of God and you're yoked together in heart, there's no confusion because then the ministry is the heart of Jesus and the Word of God. Doesn't mean we might never disagree, but we're going to do it with a spirit of harmony and unity together. The people who come into ministry responsibility here at Door of Grace are here because they want to be here and they want us as their pastors. If they disagree, they'll disagree agreeably. They'll talk to us about those issues. That's biblical Christianity for all of us, not just for leaders. How many of you understand sowing seeds of discord, according to the Scriptures, is an abomination? You understand that? Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Let's keep a sweet, tender spirit together. But nobody comes into ministry or leadership position without a faithful attendance and demonstrated, your next villain is, fruit of involvement in body life. Fruit. Work parties and ministry time and sharing together and encourage each other and doing building your faith and taking those things together. Faithfulness and fruitfulness can be seen from that person's life. We're talking about putting someone into ministry now, and that gives potential for hurt and harm. And we want to make sure that what we do is help, not harm. So we're looking for fruit from someone's life. The Bible enjoins us to be this careful. Listen, Acts 20. Therefore, take heed to yourselves, to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know, Paul said, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples out of themselves. Now, I know I'm talking seriously. But this is real important. There needs to be a safety and a sense of security for the people in this church. Let me tell you what you're not going to see. And if you begin to see it, you'll see me do something about it as a pastor. We won't have wildfire prophecy in this house where somebody we've never seen before walks in and pops off a prophecy of judgment, gloom, and doom. We will not have that in this house. Now, did I tell you I will not be receptive to any input that someone feels God has given them? No, I didn't say that. But I will protect the house of God. That's what God has called me to do as an overseer and as a bishop in the house of God or as a pastor. Now, some of you are going, what are you talking about? There have been these kinds of things. You haven't seen them since we've been here. But there have been this kind of thing in churchianity where some prophet who calls himself a prophet, see, the Bible says, test those. You test them. You see what's in their spirit. You got people blowing around like tumbleweed, feeling like they've got the anointing, and they want to go in and destroy everything in place so they get a position of authority. That is not what we'll do here. And they'll go into churches and they'll wreak havoc. That is not what we'll do here. Okay? I'm saying that to you by safety. So if somebody, if this morning you've got a word of concern on your heart, just come talk to me as the pastor. I don't expect you to stand up and pop off a prophecy, judging and condemning everybody present. Has anybody ever seen anything like that?
Yes.
Okay. All are going to be very quiet. But it happens. You lay people out. You lay the church low. You lay the pastors low. You're all a bunch of rotten people. Do you know what the Bible says prophecy is for? Exhortation, edification, and comfort. There are prophets who have a deeper ministry, but they are responsive to the fivefold ministry. And there are overseers of the house of God, and those ministries will work together to the help and to the benefit of the congregation. We will not have dueling prophets or prophecies. Okay? Where you take out your sword and go, I was here. So a lot of people do those kinds of things, and I'm just telling you, door of grace, not what we're going to do. Somebody comes in next week, starts to yell out a prophecy, I'll probably look at you, and I'll say, why don't we all just worship the Lord? Lift up your voice and praise God. And I'll go back and have a conversation with that person on your behalf. I don't care if I'm not liked. What I do care is you. I care about you. Okay, say amen. The responsibility of oversight is extremely serious, and I do take it seriously. So we can walk together before the Lord. And I appreciate the delicate necessity to minister to God's people tenderly and carefully. And there are sometimes warnings that we will give as pastors to you, because some of the things that some people do will get them into a whole host of trouble. And if you're in commitment in the church, one of the things we're looking for is people to heed the warnings. And there's a fill-in for you. Heed the warnings. You can make your own choices. Anybody can do whatever they want. You're free, and certainly you're free to pursue what Jesus puts on your heart. But I'm talking seriously this morning about people who want to be in ministry here. Then we look for unity of heart and purpose. The committed person in Door of Grace doesn't ask, do I have to? But your feeling is, do I get to? Do I get to? How can I grow? How can I respond? How can I help? Next point, Door of Grace provides biblical oversight. Spiritual physicians, pastors, and leaders who care for you. Next, Door of Grace commitment helps to prepare for possible testing ahead. Your fill-in is testing. About spiritual caring, let me just make another point. You know, you can be in a church where if you're committed, you get harangued. I don't want to ever do that. That's not what we do here. But if you said to me, you know, Pastor Kev, I want you to be my pastor, and this is the church I want you to have. If all of a sudden you're gone for 16 weeks in a row, you can probably expect me to love you enough and say, call you up and say, how are you doing? Everything okay? Now don't go run and say, gee, he's just bugging me to death. You know, as a pastor, sometimes you're guilty either way you turn, don't you? Because if you call that person, they're haranguing me. If you don't call, they don't care. But if you've expressed a desire to be in commitment, we will try to lovingly care for you because, gosh, we don't know if you're out there sick and in need of prayer and you've got an emergency or something. We do want to know those things so we can stand with you. That's a caring community, and that's what it's for. Okay? All right, let's go on. Testing ahead. There are tests. David said, King David in 1 Samuel 17, verse 29, is there not a cause? Folks, the Church of Jesus Christ, the cause of Christ on earth, is the biggest cause to live for. Is there not a cause? Church, is there not a cause? The Church of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a quote. Let me give you a quote from Lenin. And I don't mean of the Beatles. Lenin and the Communist Party. Listen to what was expected and required of those that wanted to join his party. Listen. We will not accept into membership anyone with any reservations whatsoever. We will not accept into our membership anyone unless he is an active, disciplined, working member in one of our organizations. Commitment is not a foreign concept. Lenin required that in his team organization of communism. I'm not quoting that as a good quote, but a powerful quote about the lifestyle or the commitment that is expected in commitment. What we're looking for is people who are here because they want to be here. People who want to grow in Jesus. People who want the Word of God. A door of grace. There's your fill-in. We're looking for those who want to come into commitment because you want to be here. You make choice. It's your choice. All right, what can a committed person expect from Door of Grace pastors and leaders? Number one, a shepherd's heart. A shepherd's heart. People who love you, who care. Number two, guidance. When people come and ask questions or have help, we have had people sit down and ask for counsel and input. And by the way, the best way for you ever to receive counsel and input into your life is in the context of body life. What do I mean? You can call me and say, can I sit down for a counseling appointment? I can counsel you until I'm blue in the face, but until your heart says, I really want this and I'm willing to be in the context of the body, it won't do you any good. That's why when we counsel people, we say, you bet, we're happy to help, but come to church. Come to grace gatherings. Come to work parties. Get involved. Help. Because you're going to find part of your answer is involved in the total sense of commitment to the church. All right? Guidance. The third one is security. God sets the solitary in families. There is security. Fourth, spiritual feeding. What we try to do every Sunday in feeding your spirit. And then protection. People who stand with you in your time of need and spiritual warfare. All right, what can the Door of Grace pastors and leaders expect from those committed to those who have this as their home church? Number one, to know the pastor's voice. My sheep hear my voice, John 10:27, and I know them and they follow me. Now I know that's Jesus is speaking, but Jesus works through his people. And the pastors can expect you're here because you believe Jesus wants you here. And you're here to help grow and to help contribute and be a part. We're not going to be in competition with others. We're here to help you grow. Can you say amen? Anybody in this room believe we're here to help you grow? Are there any show of hands that you've ever felt we've been here to help you grow? Let's see the hands. Okay, very good. A few of you. To follow where the pastors lead as we follow Christ. We expect that you'll trust and know that we want your best in the Lord and that you're praying for us. And as a congregation, we want to follow what Jesus has for us to do. Number three, to heed the warnings, to be obedient to Jesus, to imitate the leadership in their walk with Christ. Now, I didn't say that. The Bible says it. The fill-in is imitate it. Hebrews 13:17, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. There should be an example for you in the body of Christ. Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. How many of you understand, as pastors, we're here watching out for your souls? That's what the Bible says. You know what the Bible also says? Let them do that with joy and not with grief. Are you all giving us joy bells every day? Amen. But see, that's part of commitment. We're committed to you. You're committed to us. We're all committed to Jesus. We're committed to his word, and we keep growing. That's what commitment is about in the body of Christ. Oh, gosh. Yeah, we can take a few minutes. Do you know what shepherds in ancient Israel used to do with a wandering sheep? How many have ever heard what they used to do with a sheep that wandered off? You know what they used to do? What was that? You said it, I didn't. What was that? That's right. When there was a sheep, didn't mean it wasn't a sheep, but it kept wandering off. Because he wanders off, he's not going to be strong. He's not going to eat good food. He's not going to stay close and be strengthened. That shepherd, because he loved that sheep, would break that sheep's leg, pick him up, and carry him on his shoulders. That's strong, isn't it? That's strong. The issue is not that we're leg breakers, and my name's not Guido. But in the spirit, in commitment, do you want help or adjustment to your life? Help comes with encouragement, strength, nourishment. Do you ever want any adjustment in your life? It's a choice you make. You remember Peter? Did Peter love Jesus? Did he? Come on, you can all say yes. Did Peter love Jesus? Jesus turned to Peter and said what? Get thee behind me! How many think that was an easy confrontation? Because just a moment before, he praised Peter for having the revelation about Jesus being the Messiah, the Christ. All right, both things happen in the body of Christ. One man wrote this statement, and I thought it was powerful. Being a lone sinner is easy, but being a saint is a team effort. Being a lone sinner is easy. Being a saint is a team effort. Our whole heart's commitment to you as pastors is to help you and help all of us walk together closer to Jesus in a better way. Hebrews 12, 7, 9, and 10. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. What son is there whom a father does not chasten? Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us. We paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? They indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness. How many in this room want to partake of the holiness of Jesus? Amen. 1 Corinthians 4, 15 and 16. Though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. It's not always easy to be a pastor in the body of Christ, but it's something we do with joy and love because we love God's people. Next is to be faithful in attendance at meetings. How many of you, really, you may not have ever said this, but in your own heart of hearts, the word is attendance there, you expect your pastors to be at every one of the church gatherings, don't you? How would it be next Sunday morning if we just didn't show up? Would you like that? Tim stands up and says, and for this morning's announcements, for this morning's prayers, for this morning's worship I'm going to sing, and for the morning message, Candy, you got something? We all serve our parts, don't we? It's just a fun thing. You know, we all, obviously, there are family events, there are things where people are gone and go and do. It's obvious, no problem. But your heart's commitment is that when you're here, you're here. And when you're here, man, I want to go to the house of God. You take a look at the Old Testament and they sing the Psalms. Come, let us go to the house of the Lord. He'll teach us of his ways. Come, let us go and be taught and learn and grow. Wow, what's God doing at church this morning? You know, when was the last time, hopefully this morning, that you had that attitude and you looked at each other and say, come on, let's go to church. Wonder what's going to happen today. Isn't that what going to church is all about? Man, I'm looking forward to seeing my friends, and let's go worship together. And you know, at 6 o'clock this morning, I said, let's march around the church. No, I didn't really. That just happened. But what fun. Let's march around while we sing. God's good. Isn't it good to be in God's house together? There's a purpose. Next, to be faithful in relationships. To be faithful in relationships. Committed biblically to handling any oughts or problems or miscommunications. You know, 90% of the problems in life between people are simply misunderstandings or undercommunications. Make a commitment to make sure they're right. Therefore, Matthew 5, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember your brother has something against you, leave it there. Go get reconciled. Then bring your gift. Next, to be faithful in service. A door of grace. Privileges and responsibilities go together. Say with me the word privileges. Say the word responsibilities. Privileges, responsibilities. How many of you understand they go together? If somebody looks at me and says, Pastor Kev, I want all of the privileges of making me the main leader here, but I don't want to wear any responsibility on my shoulders. I don't serve. I don't give. I don't want to do any of that. Guess what? That doesn't go together, does it? So as your pastor, or as a pastor, because probably if that's your attitude, I'm not your pastor, I'm going to look at you and go, love you. You can make whatever choice you want to make, but guess what? This ain't going to happen. Okay? You all breathing? But, hey, we learn to walk side by side and shoulder the responsibilities together. And then God opens opportunities and new responsibilities. And God brings other people to minister to. And all of a sudden, you got five people come in, and you say, and you look at me and go, Pastor Cub, I want to be the Building Your Faith coach for every one of my friends. I just brought in my whole block. I'm going, amen, praise God, great. You've been through it first, now you can do it. See? That's how it works. Faithful in service. Number 7, to support the congregation verbally, physically, financially, your time, talents, and money. Folks, it's my church. not just your church. You can tell the difference in the heart of the person who expresses, this is my church. Because that's how they talk. It's my church. It's our church, not just the church or your church. Now, I said this morning, commitment is up to you. Your choice. Your choice has results. Everybody is welcome here. Some want to simply attend, and that is fantastic. Some want further involvement and commitment, and that's fantastic. Some want ministry training. My responsibility in teaching Building Your Faith has been to help you with foundational understandings. Maybe you've had them before, but it's good to review them again. If you've had them before, it's good for you to know what we believe the Scripture teaches. My blessing has been to help you understand, how do we build the Church of Jesus Christ? My blessing and my responsibility has been to help us see together, how do we build your ministry? Building your faith, building your church, and building your ministry, all are very real and very powerful, and God is indeed going to build His church. God is indeed going to bring, and is in the process of bringing, His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We get to choose what part and how much of a part we get to participate in and play. The choices are yours. We love you. Now, I recognize those who are guests this morning, this is a bit of a different message. I'm preaching a series called Acts Alive, and in 2 weeks, we will be back to that. But this has been essential for us as a congregation. Next week will be an absolutely fantastic and important message for increasing your spiritual hearing. If I were you, I not only would not miss, I'd grab the rest of the people on your block. Because Pastor Sherry will talk more about refining our spiritual hearing. It is our privilege to be your pastors. Whether you attend or whether you say, I want this as my church, we love you and we're grateful for that opportunity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being a part of your house. We thank you, Lord, for the strength and the commitment and the life-giving vibrancy that these people have already demonstrated and we've been able to be a part of. Lord, our heart's desire is that we will indeed be a part, even more so, of bringing your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Lord, we commit these things to you. Show us, Lord, how we can further grow as individuals and as a congregation. In Jesus' beautiful name, amen.